Nation. O Lord of Lords, how is it that this dangerous effulgence is spreading all around? Where does it come from? I do not understand it. Purport, anything that is presented before the personality of Godhead should be so done after due presentation of respectful prayers. That is the standard procedure, and Sri Arjuna, although an intimate friend of the Lord, is observing this method for general information. The proper procedure of approaching the Lord is mentioned here, that before presenting anything before the Lord, here Arjuna is presenting his fear and asking for help from Krishna. So before presenting anything, one should first of all offer respectful prayers. And although for Arjuna it wasn't entirely necessary, because he's the intimate friend of the Lord, he did so anyway, just to set this proper, to follow the general etiquette and set the proper standard for others. This is true in all aspects of approaching the Lord. Before study, reading books, we should also recite some prayers, or some, at least mentally, some recitation. Traditionally, before studying Shastra, one would recite Mangalacharan, perform Achaman, just to purify and steady the mind and make it prepare the mind, which is generally absorbed in material thoughts, for the transcendental, sacred, worshipable subject matter which the mind is now to be absorbed in. So these are the general procedures. With the holy names, with chanting the holy names of the Lord, there are no such procedures. Khayate shuyate jata tata namaloy. Desha kala niyan nahi sarva siddhi hoy. In the matter of chanting the holy names of Krishna, there is no consideration of time, place, circumstance. Even one can chant when lying down, when eating, in all situations, all respects and all circumstances, by chanting the holy names of the Lord, one can achieve all perfection. This is not so with other approaches to the Supreme Lord. One cannot perform deity worship while eating, for instance. Or one cannot pour ghee into the yajna while lying down. It's not allowed. After lying down, one has to take bath before he can perform any such functions. Otherwise, it's an offense. Again, the bathing purifies the body and prepares one's mentally for worshipping the Lord. But with the holy name of the Lord, it's enjoined that immediately upon rising, chant the holy name, even without taking bath. Immediately, Kirtaniya Sadaharhi, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has recommended, always chant the holy name. So that means we should chant on rising immediately, chant before resting, chant in between all the time. If we do like that, then at night also while sleeping, we'll also be chanting. If you do something all day, then you tend to dream like that also. So then dream will become reality, and one will be chanting all 24 hours. There was one incident that one godbrother, Srila Prabhupada, told me that one time at the Satchidananda Mutt in Katak, that's the Gauriya Mutt, you can say Gauriya Mutt branch in Katak, that some people, they came and presented some milk, but that was actually drugged, because they wanted that all the residents of the, they offered the milk, here, you can take this, and it was drugged, so they'd all fall asleep, and they wanted to come in and steal everything. So what happened? Then all the devotees were drugged, and I didn't explain clearly, but anyway, there was someone came and sort of took them to the hospital, and in the hospital, it was time for the arati, and the pujari who was supposed to be doing it, who was lying in the hospital, in his unconscious state, he was moving his hand like this. He was so much practice to do that. He was as if offering the arati even in his unconscious state. So always chant the holy names. Kirtaniya Sada Harihi. Of course there are other activities in Krishna consciousness also. But other activities should be accompanied by the chanting of the holy name. Deity worship, which is very much respected here, especially in South India. Much importance is given to the rituals of Archan. And Jiva Goswami, he has recommended that although chanting the holy names is sufficient for all perfection, but to help regulate people's lives in a Krishna conscious manner, the deity worship is also required. He has recommended that. So we see that many people are, on coming newly to Krishna consciousness, they're very eager to start worshipping deities. In fact, I was told last night, I was asked to come to some first Abhishek ceremony for installing some Gaur-Nitai deities in a congregational aspiring devotee's home. But I refused, actually, because I'm not very much in favor of starting deity worship without proper knowledge of what one is doing. Because in chanting the holy names, it's said there are no, even chanting the holy names, there are rules and regulations to be followed. One can chant at any time, but still it's more favorable to chant early in the morning, particularly the one's fixed number of rounds. And if one is at the same time reading the newspaper or reading on in between conversation, how are you feeling today? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Well, I think you should do this. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. This, you can also chant like that, but that won't be as effective as sitting, concentrating on chanting the holy name. So there are rules to regulate the chanting of the holy names, but the point is that even without following rules, that the chanting will be effective, but certainly in our neophyte stage, as much as we follow these rules, that will help us to concentrate on hearing and chanting and meditating on the holy name. So there are rules in chanting the holy names also. But nevertheless, one is recommended to chant the holy names in all times, places and circumstances. However, archan, there are certain rules and regulations which if one doesn't follow, then becomes an offender. And traditionally, archan is supposed to be done by initiated brahmanas. Why? Because one reason is that one is supposed to receive mantras, which are essential in deity worship, which are only available to brahmanas. Why? Brahmana means one who has purified life, and who is knowledgeable in Shastra. He knows what he's doing. He doesn't think that this is a brass-made idol. He has knowledge of the deity being Krishna. And who is Krishna? He's not contaminated by mundane ideas, not contaminated by Mayavad ideas such as that you do bhakti and then later by doing bhakti you attain jnana. All back to front ideas which people are contaminated by. Therefore, one has to go to guru, hear from guru, have understanding. First comes shrava, Shravan comes even before kirtan. So, unless one knows what he's doing, why he's doing, then there's a high possibility of seva aparan, making offenses in deity worship. And unless one is trained in deity worship, then how are we going to do it? We're very eager. Yes, yes, start worshipping, but there's no training in what to do. For chanting the holy names, not much training is required. Well, that's also because very often we see people come, we ask them to chant Hare Krishna, and they start enthusiastic, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So, not even clearly. Sometimes people go on for years like that. No one trains, so you have to at least chant clearly. It's very minimal. Otherwise, it's not chanting Hare Krishna. He chanted 16 rounds of something, but it wasn't the Hare Krishna mantra. So, but there are not so much rules and regulations, as in deity worship. There are so many things to be, so many points to be considered. It becomes an offense to, if any member of the family is eating food not offered to the deity, that becomes an offense. And how to prepare and such a way that it's only relished by the Lord, not relished by others, even mentally, before offering foodstuffs which are offered to the Lord. And one must be punctual in performing aratis early in the morning, dressing the deity. Sometimes we hear, well, it's okay, you don't have to bathe the Lord daily, you don't have to dress daily, it's okay. You can just do once a week or something, but really? I mean, you yourself would like to bathe only once a week and change your clothes once a week? And you want to subject God to that? It's all right, you can do it. Is it all right? I don't really understand how it's all right, but somehow or other people say that. There's this idea that, well, you just do it by bhav. So you have the bhav, and then everything. But if you have the bhav, then you'll serve properly. You have the bhav, you'll serve more. It's not just, well, I feel so much love for you, but I can't be bothered to feed you, or clothe you, or dress you, or bathe you. And then where's the bhav? It's nonsense, actually. So, deity worship, yes, we can encourage everyone. You can take the alekya form, the picture form of the Lord. That's also a form of the Lord. But yeah, it's also a form of the Lord, and we find in many traditional homes, at least previously, they would worship the Lord in his picture form. They would perform regular archan and offerings of food and all these things. But especially if one has deities, and it's really, like I said, it's required to dress them and to offer them arati regularly, with all, bring together all the family members. Not that you have the deities in one corner of the room and the other the TV. And you, most of the time you're looking at the TV and making the deities hear the TV also. Or even to have a TV anywhere in the house. Neglecting the Lord. So there are so many. Also, deity worship, it's not that one day you're wandering through Loy Bazaar and you think, well, those are nice deities, I think I'll buy them. How much? 300 rupees. Very cheap. And you come back to Chennai and say, oh, I bought Gaur-Nitai. Very cheap. You can't buy Gaur-Nitai. Guru may give. May do. But you can't purchase God. So there are so many considerations. So I may think, well, this is very strict, we should be more merciful. But mercy means to instruct people in such a way that's actually for their benefit. Often what we think that what we like to do, that is bhakti. If someone comes and speaks so many nice things and smiles a lot, and we think, this is nice, this must be bhakti. If it pleases me, it must be bhakti. It's back to front. Understanding. If it pleases Krishna, it's bhakti. We have to learn how to please Krishna. We have to be trained Just like we're seeing Arjuna following the standard procedure of offering prayers to Krishna before making a presentation to him. Why does he do that? He's doing that to instruct others in the proper methodology. So, mostly what's preached in the world today in the name of bhakti is based on the misconception. If I like it, then it must be bhakti. I heard this song about Krishna dancing with Radharani, and it was wonderful. I really enjoyed it. But what is that is not subject matter for the conditioned soul. We cannot. If we're thinking how I enjoy it, then that immediately that's the wrong attitude. We should. One is actually qualified to hear the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna. If upon hearing he thinks, how can I serve here? Where is my opportunity for service? How can I serve those who are serving the servants of the servants of the servants of the servants of Radha and Krishna? But if you think, oh, this is wonderful, I like to hear this, how nice, let me hear more. Without thinking how to serve, just I it's nice to hear for my enjoyment. Then this is the wrong attitude. Here in Chennai, many years ago, Prabhupada came here and there were a couple, a very highly placed people in society. They invited Prabhupada to their home. They had Radha Krishna deities. And they were begging Prabhupada, please tell us something about Ras Leela. And Prabhupada, he again and again refused. And Prabhupada explained that one has to be very qualified to hear this. He explained in some detail, one has to be free from all material desires and one has to actually be cultivated, one has to be situated on a very high platform of Krishna consciousness. And they said, well, we're qualified. Prabhupada said, you may be qualified, I am not qualified to speak. He refused. They were worshipping Radha Krishna in their home. But due to their misconceptions, it may not have actually been very pleasing to Radha and Krishna. Now, it may be that they were offering bhog and they were doing arati and making nice dresses and having nice... Everything may have seemed very nice. But due to their misconception of who Krishna is the object. Krishna, He will do Rasleela, we will hear about it and we shall enjoy it. That means you made Krishna into Amitabh Bachchan or something like this. Oh, who else is... Who's that in South India? Rajinikant? In Tamil Nadu, is it? What's his name? Rajinikant. So that means you want Krishna to be like, say, he will do some drama and you will enjoy it. So it is not pleasing to Krishna. Now we may say, well, Gaur Nithai are very merciful. It's true. They don't accept offenses, that's true. But Gaur Nithai is the dust at the lotus feet of Gaur Nithai. They are not satisfied if one commits offenses. Gaur Nithai by nature are very merciful. So are his devotees. But his devotees do not like offenses to him. There are so many so-called devotees of Gaur Nithai. Al Bao Karta Bhajan. Nera, Daravish, and then what else there? Smarta, Jat Gosai, Karta Bhaja, Goranga Nagari, they're all supposed followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who are rejected by the bona fide followers as offenders. So if Gaur Nithai don't accept offenses, that's one thing. So it's also said that it's like the Gaur Nagaris, they are offenders to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They do very nice, I've seen their temples, they do very nice deity worship. Many of them are very learned in Shastra and they're vegetarians, which is unusual amongst Vaishnavas in Bengal, at least traditionally. More recently, due to the influence of ISKCON and preaching, more people are becoming not only vegetarians but honoring Krishna Prasadam. So Gaur Nagaris are considered very serious offenders, even though they worship Gaur Vishnu Priya. Their worship is very nice. You see their temples are very clear. It seems to be very nice, but they're rejected because they are offenders to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because they conceive of him as the enjoyer of the young women of Nadia, just as Krishna is the enjoyer of the young women of Raja. So in this way, they want to spoil Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, in which he's coming with a completely different mood. He himself is taking the mood of Raja Lalana, the woman of Vrindavan especially. Radha Bhava Dhyuti Suvalitam Domi Krishna Swarupa. He's taking the mood of Srimati Radharani. So to recast him, to try to change his role in Leela as the enjoyer, it's actually extremely offensive to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although it appears to be that they're great devotees. But it's rejected by bona fide devotees on the grounds of misunderstanding, willful, gross misunderstanding. So one shouldn't think that, sometimes it's said, well, there's no offense to Gaur Nithai, so you know, you just stick them in the corner, and you know, if you feel like worshipping them, you can, and it doesn't matter if you don't. And we often hear, oh, it's only Gaur Nithai. What do you mean, only Gaur Nithai, rascal? How can you say like that? Well, sometimes we hear, well, it doesn't matter if we don't worship the deities properly because they're uninstalled. What does this mean? What does it mean? Are they God or they're not God? You're worshipping. It's an uninstalled deity. It? Why it? That means God is not it. God is He. So much clear consciousness is required to worship the deity. You may say, Gaur Nithai don't accept offenses. That doesn't mean that we'll start worshipping them with the idea that, oh, okay, I'll just commit as many offenses as I like and it doesn't matter. With such a mentality, that worship of Gaur Nithai will never be perfect. That is the very concept from the very beginning, that, well, we don't have to worship Gaur Nithai very properly, it's not required. We see that in the temples where Prabhupada set up worship of Gaur Nithai, he gave the same schedule as for Radha Krishna worship. Same number of offerings, same number of aratis. We don't say that Prabhupada said that, well, yeah, this is Gaur Nithai, so you know, if you feel like doing something, you can worship them, and if you don't bother. He never said any such thing. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he is to be worshipped as such, primarily by Hari Sankirtan. Deity form also should be worshipped. But worship means to do properly. Now we hear that, well, Prabhupada said that we should distribute Gaur Nithai and along with books and tell these are dolls, like that. But that doesn't mean that those who have come to Krishna consciousness, they should consider, well, Gaur Nithai are just dolls. It's something like asking people, well, you chant Hare Krishna. In the beginning, you don't tell them all the... what is it? Because chant Hare Krishna. Somehow or other, if they chant, they'll be purified. But later on, when one comes into Krishna consciousness, then there is consideration of nama parad. So in the beginning, there is no question of offense. But if one is coming in hearing, coming in association with devotees, then as one's knowledge increases, then one should distinguish between proper worship and improper worship, and not think that because Gaur Nithai is so merciful that an ignorant person, he ignores their offenses, that also now we're coming to Krishna consciousness and we're studying Shastra and we're hearing all these things and we can also make offenses and it doesn't matter. Such an attitude is absolutely opposite to bhakti. So, deity worship anyway has to be given by Guru and see that you're qualified to do, you can do properly. You have to see if it's favorable to our devotional service, because we find most people nowadays, they don't have time hardly even to chant 16 rounds in a concentrated manner. So many that they're chanting as they're going in the bus on the way to work or like this. or they don't have time for studying Shastra. Not much time. So Shravan and Kirtan, these are the two most important angas of bhakti. But then if we're to do Archan, we have to spend time for that. Considerable time. Do we have enough time for doing that every day and still do Shravan and Kirtan? All these considerations are there. So, although deity worship is needed, we should see if one is in a situation. If one is qualified enough to do so. Otherwise, out of sentiment, if we do, that won't be very favorable for our advancement. Someone was telling me that in some other place in South India, someone had just come for the first time to the temple 3 weeks ago, and now they were going to install Gaunitai in his house. And what does he know? It's just ridiculous. What does he know about what he's doing? He probably doesn't even know even the basic pranam mantras to Prabhupada or any such basic things. But then he'll start, and then it's very difficult to bring people up to a higher level if you instruct them in the beginning that a lower level is acceptable. Now in the beginning, of course, we don't teach people we may not teach people everything, it's not possible, but they should understand that, all right, now you're just like this Krishna Seva program courses. We call people Krishna Seva. What do they have to be? 4 rounds or something? Krishna Sevak is a very high position. We're trying to be Das Anudas Anudas. So to be Krishna Sevak, it's actually, we don't even aspire to be Krishna Sevak directly. We aspire to be Das Anudas Anudas. But anyway, to give people some encouragement or whatever, we call them Krishna Sevak. So say, chant 4 rounds and follow 3 principles or something like this. So, but people should understand that there's 3 principles, no, there's 4 regulated principles. 4 rounds, there's not the required standard. More, at least 16 is required. But then if we start deity worship, we say, well, if you have time in the morning, then you wave a little incense and... If there's no proper standard in the beginning, then people will consider that, well, this is an acceptable standard. But actually, deity worship means there should be good, high standard. And if we say that, well, you just do somehow or other, you do something or other, then we're institutionalizing or propagating a lower standard, which will not help people to actually become elevated and advanced. We want that in every home there should be deity worship, but that means up to a proper standard. Placing deities in a home and actually establishing deity worship are not necessarily the same thing. So, this is why I'm conservative in this matter. That let people become prepared and ready. We don't allow in the temple people to go on the altar and worship the deities until they're sufficiently trained. So that should be in the home also. Hare Krishna. Is there any question about this?
Gaudiya Vishnus, those who are in worshipping Lord in Madhurya Bhav.
Gaudiya Vaishnavas are those who are worshipping the Lord in Madhurya Bhav. That's not necessarily true. That in Gaudiya Vaishnavism focuses on worshipping Krishna in Madhurya Bhav, but there are Gaudiya Vaishnavas also. Devotees of Lord Chaitanya who were worshippers of Lord Ram, Lord Nrsimha. So, it's not necessarily so.
Not my question was that those who worship the Lord in Madhurya Bhav, they worship Gaura Gadada, and those who are in Sakya Rasa, they worship
Gaurita. Yes.
Is it true?
Yes, that's Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur clarified that. That worship of Gaur Nithai is, that's real worship. I mean, we worship Gaur Nithai as in a, we can only aspire to serve devotees in Sakya Ras. But yes, Gaur Nithai worship is focused on Sakya Ras, whereas Gaur Gadadha worship is worship of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is focused on Madhurya Ras. That's true.
If I
can if a devotee can't remember the Sanskrit verse, can he recite in English? Or Tamil, I suppose, also. I don't know. Or any other language. It doesn't have to be in English. It's not that someone in Russia, you can't remember it in Sanskrit. Okay, learn it in English. He doesn't understand English either. Yes, that is acceptable. That's stated in our Pancharatra Pradeep. But it's better if one learns the Sanskrit verse. That's the language that the Lord knows all languages, but he himself is not that much inclined towards these Mlecha Bhashas. Himself speaks in Sanskrit. So that language is more pleasing to the Lord and more accurate also. English, there are so many things which are expressed in Sanskrit which actually cannot be properly expressed in English. But the language is insufficient. Just like the word ras, for instance, it's not translatable in English.
For example, Guru Maharaj, this was in Mumbai. Can you tell Guru Maharaj, please, like us?
Well, you're asking the same question again, isn't it? It's more or less the same question, isn't it?
It would be better like in another language.
Yeah. No, I'm saying it's better if you do it in the language that the Lord Himself prefers. But if one is to worship the Lord, again, traditionally that's done by Brahmanas who, they have enough brain substance to be able to remember some mantras. But if we can't, then we can say in English also. The Lord, if our feeling is there that we want to serve the Lord nicely, then He will accept that. Murko vadati Vishnaya Pandita Vadati Vishnave Ubhayastu Samang Punyam Bhavagrahi Janardana. A fool says Vishnaya, whereas one who actually knows, he says Vishnave. Om Namo Narayanaya, Om Namo Madhavaya. And what should be for Vishnu? Om Namo Vishnaya. No, it's an exception. Generally, it was Narayanaya, Krishnaya, Govindaya. But with Vishnu, it's not Vishnaya, it becomes Vishnave. So we may think it should be Vishnaya, but actually the rule is Vishnave. So, out of ignorance, someone may say Vishnaya. But both get the same result, pious result of worshipping the Lord, if they have the actual bhav to serve the Lord by doing so. Because the Lord accepts bhav more than the ritual. The ritual is required, but the ritual is subordinate to the is less important than the bhava. That doesn't mean the ritual is not important. Again, people sometimes say, well, you know, it's all bhava, so I have bhava, but I don't follow the ritual. But that's also bogus, because if one has bhava, then he will do things in a manner that is pleasing to the Lord. Of course, on the very highest stages, there's no consideration of ritual whatsoever. But to imitate that stage is worse than not to imitate bhav seva when one is not actually on the platform of a prakrita, transcendental bhav. That's worse than not doing deity worship at all. There's so many even basic things that devotees don't know and follow, so we should learn all these things. Hare Krishna. Anything else? Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Shri Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.